Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, 2 weeks on from a presumed Israeli strike on the Iranian embassy in Damascus, which killed senior military personnel, the threatened response came. On Saturday night, some 300 ballistic missiles, drones and other projectiles were fired directly at Israel from Tehran, but 99% of those projectiles were shot down with help from the US and other Israeli allies. Now, Israel's war cabinet is meeting in the next 2 hours to debate how they respond, with America's President Joe Biden urging Israel to take the win and avoid further escalation. Well, for more on where this conflict might go next, I'm joined by defence and security expert at the University of Bath and former NATO analyst Patrick Bury, and by associate professor of the School of Law and Government in Dublin City University, Paola Rivetti. You're both welcome to the programme. Patrick, I want to start with you. What do you think the state of play is after the week ahead, the weekend gone by, and also looking ahead to this meeting now, the Israeli cabinet coming together to decide what they do next? Who comes out of this attack stronger and who is weaker as we stand?
Good morning, Claire. Stronger, I think, Israel, weaker, Iran, essentially, because Iran has fired, really, of the 300, you can discount the drones. They're just there to distract and deceive, essentially try to overwhelm air defence. The cruise missiles, low and slow. Again, pretty easy to shoot down. It's the ballistics, and there was 120 of those fired, and that's serious. And the Iranians would have been calculating that more would have got through, and that would have had serious repercussions if they did. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes about the Iranian intent. So they wanted to kill more people in this. And as a result of that, I'm sure what would be going on in the Iranian, the Israeli cabinet as we speak is and it's already a hardline cabinet fairly much, so will be this debate between what was the Iranian intent. Yes, our systems work and we've come out in a win, essentially, and a loss for Iran because they were trying to show strength and they haven't really. And the debate will be whether do we go and now probably launch some sort of attacks on the launch sites of those ballistic missiles, or do we, as some of the cabinet have said, do we wait, bide our time and look at other responses, which would be a covert action, assassination, cyber attacks, etc. So I think that's where we are at the moment. And Iran would have probably thought that they were going to get a better return for their efforts.
Okay, well,
I think it goes, some people are saying this was just signalling. And I think if you look at the actual ballistic missile number launched, to me, that goes beyond signalling.
Okay, Paola, what's your view on the intent from Iran's point of view and whether that what they did at the weekend was successful?
So thanks. Good morning, first of all, and thanks for having me. It's difficult to say, but if we look at what the Iranian government, is in these days saying, I think it was a show of retaliation capacity. So I think that Iran is trying to brand the attacks on Saturday night as a win, in terms of, using the fact that everyone in the world and, thank God, is asking Israel not to attack back, and therefore presenting this as a win for Iran because, Israel is not retaliating, is not attacking. So it's difficult to kind of gauge the real intention of the government, but I would not be, entirely in agreement with my colleague there, because I do think that it was an attack aimed at showing, a very measured attack aimed at showing a retaliation capacity, which Iran probably has. But this would be, also in line with what has been, traditionally and historically the preferred methods by Tehran, which do not include traditionally, a direct attack on, in this case, mm-hmm. Israeli sovereign territory.
Paola, I was reading some analysis this morning that suggested the message to the West from Iran over the weekend was rein Israel in when it comes to what they're doing in Gaza, but also the attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria. And now we see the Americans saying, look, we will help you shoot down those missiles as they did at the weekend, but if you retaliate, we won't be behind you. So from that point of view, did what Iran, what they set out to do in terms of sending that message to the West, did that work?
Yes and no. I mean, it did work in terms of perhaps a waking call for Western governments. You pointed out Biden's declaration, but we've seen very similar declaration coming from the UK, coming from from France, and these are, you know, very important allies to Israel. US alone is responsible for, you know, nearly 17% of arm provision to and trade to Israel last year. So it's important voices that Israel is definitely carefully listening to. But at the same time, so in that sense, yes, Iran message was delivered and sorted, you know, the desired effect. But at the same time, we also know that Israel started again bombing Gaza, you know, this morning. So it's you know, at the same time, unfortunately, Iran's attack on Israel has taken away you know, attention on what is happening in Gaza and has given, if you want, a freer hand to Israel to continue its assault on the Palestinian people.
So, Patrick, what's your view on what Israel will do now? We know we have this meeting coming up in the next 2 hours where they are debating what their response will be. Can you take us through what the considerations are, firstly?
Claire, yeah, like, it's difficult to say exactly. I mean, the Israelis will usually, you know, they come out if they have to choose between strength, a show of strength or not, they usually choose a show of strength because they view the neighbourhood as a very tough one and they have to be one of the toughest in the neighbourhood to show, you know, that they mean business. I would have thought that their responses would be along the lines of, do we target, using our air force mainly, probably, some of the ballistic missile launching sites, maybe cruise missile, but they can be mobile, but the ballistic missile, and they can be mobile too, but the ones they know about, do we do some sort of limited attack inside Iran to degrade their missile capabilities, essentially? That's what I think. Or do we do something more restrained and wait, so there's a soak period, and do either a cyber attack, do covert action, do assassination campaigns, stuff that they've, let's be honest, been doing for a long time against the Iranians, especially to do with the nuclear program and the IRGC. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'd say that their debate is, sort of the outlines of the debate about. And I couldn't call which one they're going to do, you know.
Yeah.
Certainly in terms of a restraint, what you're seeing is the UK and the US basically, as your other guest has said, saying, look, we should be able to draw a line under this, because US policy, after all, is to contain the situation in the Middle East from spreading. But it'll be down to the Israelis. I can understand why they see it as an act of war. It is unprecedented in modern times, firing that many ballistic missiles from a nation state into Israel. I don't know which way they'll go.
Paolo, given that, you know, this was unprecedented, as Patrick has said, do you think that Israel will be, or at least some members of the cabinet, will be pushing for a show of strength to retaliate?
I think so. It's very likely. It is difficult to, you know, to tell the future, of course. But if you look at who is sitting currently in the Israeli government, I mean, Netanyahu is probably the most moderate. And also, if you look at the current crisis of legitimacy of, you know, of the government, we are seeing every day, you know, huge demonstrations, huge protests against Netanyahu. But we all know, so that there is a crisis going on, but we also know that the settlers' movement, which probably is the, you know, is the actual basis of support for the current government, is definitely not willing to, you know, to ask or demand a downscaling of the conflict. So I think it will all be down to the combination of international voices that are asking Israel to avoid retaliating against Iran, with the domestic politics and the you know, domestic forces that are asking the government to prioritize bringing the hostages back, on the one side, and on the other side, you know, those forces that are actually asking and pushing for the government to, you know, to continue the war and possibly enlarge it. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to say, but yeah. I think these are the forces at play.
Well, there were some asking questions, Patrick, over the last number of days as to whether all of this was designed to draw America back into the region. What do you think of that theory?
Oh, that's, you know, what is it, belie a theory of coordination and grand strategy that I'm not sure existed, you know, exists really. I think, look, much, if you want to go to the strategic level, what's more worrying is that you've got a second front, which appears to be increasingly opening in the Middle East. You've already got the front in Ukraine open there with Russia. And we know that there, as the NATO Secretary General said, there's increasingly coordination between Iran, Russia and China. And so if, you know, you could interpret Iran's attack, and it's totally fine to say it's signaling to, there's good evidence for that, but you could also interpret it as an attempt to really to stoke a regional war on Iran's part, even though they're saying, oh, we don't want that, you know, and they would probably lose it, by the way, they would lose it conventionally. But you can see the emerging contours of a wider conflict in which the Chinese would move on Taiwan in a few years or so. And, you know, you've got a conflagration then in three major theatres and how what world wars look like. They start off as regional wars, and then, you know, it's not as if everyone decides they're going to pile in and have a world war at the start. It's because there's regional actors all pushing and toing and froing for their own interests in different regions, which become a global alliance. So I think that would be more of the worry, really, you know. And then the decision for the US, although they want containment in the Middle East, the question is, well, if we're going to be stretched, if a war is coming, and when is it? You know, question mark, big question mark over that. But if then the second order effect, if it is coming, do we want to split that kind of axis? You know, bearing in mind that Russia is fairly tied down in Ukraine at the moment, Iran has really, really acted badly in this. You know, it's pretty much not totally responsible, but heavily involved in the Hamas's development of the capability to carry out that October the 7th attack. It's then, you know, utilized its proxies, the Houthis especially, to cause all the unrest in the Red Sea. And now it's launched a major missile attack against Israel, which under any other conditions would have been seen as an act of war. But because Gaza is going on and it's more complex, it's sort of shades of grey a bit more.
Israel, and it is accepted that Israel attacked the Iranian embassy in Syria. That gave license for Iran, in their minds, to do what they did at the weekend.
No, it didn't. Not in the level. I think I totally understand why people are thinking this, but you know, the proportionate response would have been some sort of attack or a terrorist attack on. I sound terrible here, but like a terrorist attack on an Israeli embassy, that would be like, okay, tit for tat. You did that, we did this. You know, or a terrorist attack inside Israel. You know, 300 missiles, including, or you know, 300 missiles and drones, including 120 ballistic missiles for seven senior military commanders killed, I think is
a disproportionate response.
Yeah, I do. And I wasn't expecting it, and a lot of us weren't expecting it. We were expecting something through the proxies much more, or a terrorist attack or something against an embassy. So it's a different level of escalation in my mind anyway.
Yeah, and Paola, were you surprised on Saturday when you heard the scale of what Iran had done and had decided to do?
Yes and no. I mean, at the beginning, it looked like, you know, an extremely fierce response. But, you know, as the time was passing by, and I was actually on the phone with friends in Tehran, and we were commenting, you know, and my friend was like, oh, I'm here with my mom. We're watching it live. But these missiles are not, you know, we get kind of, you know, on Israeli soil in hours and hours. So we were, you know, trying to make sense of, you know, the very specific way that Iran, you know, selected to do this. And I mean, I must say that as time was passing by, it really looked like a carefully measured, a carefully orchestrated, you know, show of strength. So in that sense, I think, you know, from the point of view of the Iranian state, this was the perfect, if you want, and safer way of showing on the one side that we do have retaliation capacity, so do not, you know, do not try again to attack us, because this is what happened in Damascus, you know, with the Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy. But at the same time, we're doing this in a way that, you know, is also showing that there is space for negotiation and there is space for a win-win. Iranian actions, whether that's more on a diplomatic, you know, way, let's say, level, or on a more, you know, in, like in this case, military level, are all carefully calculated. And there's always a reason why, a very specific reason why Iranians do things the way they do. Okay. And in this case, the way was to allow for both parties to, you know, get a win and go home. And as the Iranian state is keeping repeating, this is over.
All right, Paola Rivetti from DCU and Patrick Bury from the University of Bath. Thank you both for joining us. We'll have more on this in the second hour of the programme when we hear from Alistair Bunkle, Middle East correspondent with Sky News, who is in Jerusalem. We'll also hear from Justin Urquhart-Stewart, and he'll be telling us about the impact that all of this has had on the financial markets and on international economies. Next, though, could a giveaway budget be on the way here?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.